Welcome to the PDPW podcast, brought to you by Professional Dairy Producers, dairy's professional development organization.
Well, good talking with you and all the people who tune into this podcast. I'm Tom Thibodeau, Distinguished Professor of Servant Leadership at Paterboro University in La Crosse, Wisconsin. And today I thought a topic would be, let's honor and thank our volunteers. All those people who so generously give their time and energy to the lives of other people. Think about it for just a moment. All of us, our lives are shaped by people in our community who volunteered to help make our lives a little bit better. Think about all the people who volunteer at churches, who bring their best desserts to church basements and potlucks, where loaves and fishes is always practiced. There's always enough to eat in a church basement, and it's because people are generous. They bring their best recipes and share them with their friends and with strangers. People who sign up to work at funeral lunches. Think of all the people who volunteer just to make us safe. Think about crossing guards in small towns who help children get across the street safely. Think of all those people who volunteer in youth sports. How about Girl Scout leaders and Boy Scout leaders? How about all those people that are involved in our Brownie Troop? My daughter has volunteered to be the Brownie Troop leader for my granddaughter's first grade class, and they're right in the middle of cookie sales. Can you imagine what it's like trying to organize 15 little girls, keep their money and their accounts straight as they sell cookies? These little girls are selling upwards to 70 to 150 boxes of cookies to family members and have to get the order done right and have to be able to collect the money that goes with it. Volunteers who spend their time and their energy visiting people, delivering meals on wheels across this country to people who do not have anyone else to talk with or to eat with. Volunteers who go into classrooms and help children learn how to read or put their boots on in the wintertime. Volunteers who show up in our parks and sell things at raffles so that nonprofit organizations like libraries and the Red Cross may continue to operate. All those people who are so generous. I went to graduate school at Seattle University in Seattle, Washington, back in the early 1970s. I was working as a missionary. I was working as a volunteer myself at that time, and my tuition was paid for, and I had $40 for the whole summer for spending money. That was 8 weeks of living in a dorm with $40 spending money. Even in 1974, that wasn't a lot of money. And I knew myself well enough that if I just had the $40 in my pocket, it would be gone in a very short period of time. So I got eight envelopes and put $5 in each envelope. So I had $5 a week to spend. Now, it's important to realize that I had a meal ticket, but I did not cover Saturdays and Sundays when the cafeteria was closed. So that $5 also had to provide food that I would need at the end of the week. And then, because I'm in my early 20s, you know, it was important for me to socialize, so I found a little tavern about a block from the campus called the Gollywog. I always remember that. And every once in a while, I'd go up there to get a beer and maybe to play pool. And back in the day, they had pool tables, and you'll remember this, in which you put your quarter on the rail and you waited for your turn to play, and the person who won always had the next game. And so I put my quarter in, it's my turn up, and the balls came out, and I'm racking the balls. And a gentleman walks over, the guy who's been holding the table for a while, and says, "Hi, my name's Bud." I said, "Hi, Bud, my name's Tom." "Come here often, Tom?" "No, Bud, I just come on Wednesdays when I need time to relax and reflect." He said, "Well, I come here," he said, "two, three times a week." He said, "My wife died a couple of years ago, and my boys have moved away. I work for a cement factory, and I got my hip crushed, and that's why I limp." He said, "So I come up here, and I play pool." And so pretty soon we're playing, and the only balls left on the table were mine. And Bud comes up and leans on his pool cue and says, "Hey, what are you doing Sunday?" I said, "Well, nothing. He said, "Would you be willing to come to my house and cook a turkey?" I said, "Sure." First thing I thought of was food. Here I got an opportunity to have a meal on Sunday, and so we sit down, and he writes out his address on a cocktail napkin, and he's in the inner city of Seattle, and I can't wait for Sunday morning. So I go to church, and I walk over to this man's house, and he's got a porch that kind of slants, and he's got a back door that's kind of hanging on by a thread, and I knock very gingerly, and, "Hey, Tom, come on in." And I go in, and there's Bud. He's sitting in his living room watching speedboat race on Lake Washington with a friend of his and another woman from the neighborhood with her small child. He said, "The turkey's in the kitchen." Well, his wife had died 2 years previously, and I don't believe anybody had cleaned that kitchen for 2 years. So here I am cleaning the kitchen of a man that I had met up at a tavern shooting pool. And I clean up the kitchen, and I get the turkey ready, and I put it in the oven, and I stuff it, and I put the oven door, I close the oven door, and it comes off my hand. Well, I have to wiggle it and get it all set up, and I push a chair against it. And I said, "Hey, Bud, you know, the turkey's in the oven. It'll be done in about 3 hours." I said, "And I go up to the park and listen to some jazz. I'll be back." And I come back, and the house is filled with people. People that Bud had met up at the tavern or in the neighborhood, they were people from every walk of life, every age group, different ethnic and racial backgrounds. All these people came, and all came bearing treasures in little styrofoam packages that had pistachio salad and coleslaw and potato salad and all these things that were just shared by this group of people. And I'm looking at this. I'm slicing off pieces of turkey. People came up and filled their plates. And I looked at Bud and I said, "Bud, this is great. This is really great. You invited us all together for this marvelous feast." And he looked at me in a very knowing way, with a smile on his face, and said the one thing that I remember from graduate school that summer. He said, "Tom, when you ain't got much, you give yourself. When you ain't got much, you give yourself." And oftentimes people think, "Well, I'll donate money. Well, you know, I'll kind of lend my name to an organization. I'll sign up for something, but never really follow through." If you ain't got much, you give yourself. Well, what is the gift that volunteers give us across this country? It's a gift of themselves, of time and talent and energy, and even in terms of resources. I was at a Salvation Army event last night, and there was one man who was recognized for having this last year donated 416 hours to the Salvation Army. He comes in every day, and he picks up food, and he delivers it to people who have nothing to eat. And then he goes to a pantry and fills up the truck and brings the food back to the Salvation Army so they can prepare meals for the people that are living with them each and every day. 416 hours. That's 10 40-hour weeks that this man has donated of his time, his energy, and his own resources to help make our community a better place. His name will never show up in the newspaper. He will never be a banner headline. But I'm thinking across this country, how many people take their time and their energy and they give it back to their community? They give it back to their neighbors. They give it back to nonprofit organizations. They give it back to their families because it's right and it's good and it's just. And what we've always heard, in giving we receive and in receiving that we give. And we say that quite easily, but it is true. When I was growing up, my mother was not in good health. She suffered from postpartum depression and was in and out of psychiatric units when I was growing up. And we'd go up to visit her when she would be hospitalized. And on this one particular day, she was happy. She had just come back from a walk with three other women. And one of the women, her dad lived in that town. And he was a widower. And so they said, "Let's go visit my dad." And so they go up to the man's house. They knock on the door. And he's so happy to see his daughter and her three friends that he runs back into the kitchen and said, "I just baked some homemade oatmeal raisin cookies." And he comes out with a platter of cookies, and he puts them in front of his daughter. She said, "Would you have one?" And his daughter said, "Oh, Dad, I'm really trying to cut back." Says to the second woman, "Would you like to have?" "Oh," she said, "I ate too much for breakfast." Said to the third woman, "No, I really couldn't." And my mother said, "I watched the man's face fall." And then he said to me, "Would you like one of my cookies?" She said, "Could I have two? And could I take two with me back to the hospital?" And the man was so pleased, he ran back into his kitchen, and he put two cookies in a napkin. And then she handed me the napkin and told me the story. She said, "Son, always remember this. It's in giving that you receive, and it's in receiving that you give. In giving that you receive and receiving that you give. Other people want to give us something. Whenever you volunteer, the people that you volunteer with and for oftentimes want to reciprocate. All of us have a need to contribute something back. In fact, the definition of loneliness is feeling like I have nothing to offer. Everybody who comes into our purview has something to offer us, and also everybody has something to receive from us. It's in giving. There's a level of mutuality that takes place when we serve each other in the community. How important and significant this is. I have the privilege of working at a soup kitchen, have been for 27 years here in town, called the Place of Grace, a little place in which we open a pantry for 2 hours on a Tuesday and open it for 2 hours on Thursday, followed by a community meal where everyone is welcome. And for the last 20 years, a man and I have become friends, and he comes every Thursday for dinner. He's a single man who works, and he comes in, and every week he has a joke for me. Every week, this man brings a smile to my face. I'm making meals. I'm serving food. He brings me joy. This reciprocity of friendship, good friendship, which leads to I will either go to his funeral or he'll come to mine. Because we've developed a relationship with each other where there's mutuality. I'm not just helping, I'm also being served. He comes every week, and last week he told me that he had a friend of his who worked at a bank. And he said his friend lost his job that day. And of course, I bit and I said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "Well, I work at a bank, and a woman came in and said, 'Will you check my balance?'" He said, "So I went over and I pushed her." Oh, we both kind of laughed. We both kind of laughed. He brings me joy. I bring him a sandwich. We have shared friendship. The mutuality. When you give, you receive. When you receive, you give. And finally, what is it that all of us have to give? It's love. Service is love made visible. Many of the people that you and I are talking to today have already been out in the barn 4 or 5 hours. They've already put in long hours in terms of work. They're thinking in terms of the springtime of cultivating and planting and growing the food that's going to feed the nation and the world. Well, let's face it. Farmers don't do it for the money. Certainly you need to have margins that allow you to continue on that mission. But there's a love for the land, a love for their animals, a love for their fellow human beings and their neighbors. I want to grow the best crops possible so people have enough to eat. About 14 years ago, I was invited to give a speech to alumni of Otero who were gathered about 90 miles from here in a town. And I went and tell them all the good things that are happening in our campus from 7 until 8 o'clock at night. Now it's 8 o'clock at night. I haven't had anything to eat except hors d'oeuvres. And I have to travel about 60 miles the next day to give a workshop in a town that was 60 miles away. I'm walking through the lobby of the hotel, not having anything to eat, and don't know where I'm going to stay. And I bump into a gentleman. We say, "Excuse me." And I looked at him. "It's my brother Mark. He's a year younger than I am." I said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "I'm here for a State DA convention." I said, "What are you doing here?" He said, I'm giving a talk for Viterbo." I said, "What are you doing now?" And he said, "Well," he said, "I'm going to go to Subway and get a sandwich." I said, "We're old enough. Let's go to the tavern." So we went down and we sat down. We had a sandwich. We had a beverage. He said, "Where are you staying tonight?" I said, "I don't have a place to stay." why don't you stay with me? He said, the state's already paid for room. I have a king-size bed, if you don't mind sleeping with me. I said, not at all. So I went and I got my stuff, came up to his room. We're talking for a while. And it's time to go to bed, so we both got up and took our medication. It's that time of life. We jump in the same bed, same king-size bed. My brother shuts off the light, and instantly, we're 12 and 11 again. The last time we had slept in the same bed with each other, we're 12 and 11 years of age. We're laughing, we're giggling, we're snorting, just like 12 and 11-year-old boys do. And then he begins talking about our grandmother Florence, who was an extraordinary influence in our lives. In 1937, our grandfather was hit and killed by a trolley car in Milwaukee, leaving Grandma with five children under the age of 11. She'd get up in the morning and feed the older four and give them to the care of the 11-year-old and take the baby down to the shop and begin cutting hair. She was a beautician. She had a friend who had given birth to twins, and the father of the twins would bring the babies over at 10. At 10 o'clock, my grandmother nursed three babies. She did it again at noon. She did it at 3 and at 5 o'clock before she went up and then took care of her children. When I was growing up, like I had mentioned earlier, my mother suffered a bit from depression, and my grandmother would come every summer, and for a week she'd clean and organize and sew and do things my mother was not able to do. 5 o'clock at night, she'd go up and get herself ready for supper, came downstairs and taught us how to make a brandy old-fashioned sweet, the official drink of Wisconsin. And then we'd sit down, and after dinner, we'd play cards, sheephead, and she'd share good cards with us because she wanted us to win. She always wanted the best for us. When my brother went to law school, he lived with my grandmother, and he'd come home at 11 o'clock at night, and there'd be a plate warming in the oven. We talked about our mom and our dad. Dad's been dead for 26 years now. Mom's been gone for 20. We talked about our uncles and aunts and our cousins that we grew up with. We talked about our brothers and sisters. We have six. We talked about our wives. We talked about our children. We talked about our friends. We talked about the good work that we've been given to do these last 60 years. And in the dark of the night, we were reminded that we've been loved for a lifetime. What is it that you and I have to share with one another each and every day? It's our love. Service is love made visible. And those people who volunteer, not looking for any kind of level of compensation, not looking for any level of recognition or affirmation from the community, but just sign up because it's the right thing to do, that children need umpires at their games, that little girls need somebody to help them organize their cookie sales, that people need to be fed at funerals, and if my dessert can help, I'm willing to share. Volunteers who remind us that the gift of self is the greatest gift we can give each other. Volunteers who remind us that it's in giving that we receive and in humbly receiving that we give. Volunteers who remind us that service is love made visible. Good work, hard work, noble work, dare I say sacred work. This is the work of all of us. How good it is.
Our thanks to Tom Thibodeau for today's message. Tom, a distinguished professor of servant leadership at Viterbo University. And for archived podcasts and more on-demand programs, and for more on the professional development for today's dairy producer, head to PDPW's free website at pdpw.org. Until next time, have a safe and productive week.